I don't know if any of you have ever come across Adrian Plass. He's a Christian author, and he's written some humorous books. He's written the diaries of Adrian Plass, the Christian diaries of Adrian Plass, aged 37 and a quarter. And the way he writes is really quite humorous. And good for us to laugh at ourselves sometimes in the way in which we behave as Christians, and particularly in churches. But there's always a point in the story, and I want to bring one of those points to you now. Because he says, although I became a Christian at the age of 16, it wasn't until I was 37 and a quarter that I absorbed an essential truth, that God is nice and he likes me. And I think he began to realise that for many, many years, he had this kind of false image of who God was. And that he was a God that always wagged his finger at people. And there was no joy he felt in the Christian life that he was trying to live. And I got to thinking about what kind of image we all have had and grown up with over the years of God, and how we see him, and how it has affected our lives, the way in which we lived our lives as Christians, how we relate to him, or indeed to each other. Sometimes things said to us at a very young age stick for a long, long time. But eventually he came to realize that God is nice, and he likes me. Today we're coming to the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're coming to the end of the first letters that he wrote to a church that was in a great deal of strife. And he says a similar kind of thing. He talks about the kindness and the goodness of God. 1 Peter 5:6 says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. I find that quite a humbling phrase, sentence anyway, because, you know, the God who has created the heavens and the earth has an eye for me and for you and for the world and for the whole people of the whole of this world. Looking out for them, he casts his eye across the whole of the earth, looking for those who will respond to him in one way or another, longing for them to find faith through his son, Jesus Christ. God is looking for people who are turning in that particular way, longing for us to cast our care upon him and our anxieties, because he will care for us. And I think these are important things for us to learn. And not least because when Peter was writing to this church, as we've heard in Rome, they were undergoing serious suffering. And he was giving some final instructions about how to live in a fallen world joyfully and victoriously. How do you do that in a world that is at odds one with another? But at the heart of his message was this truth, that God cares for each one. In the main, the instructions were about how to relate to one another. And we've been through a whole series of being submissive both to God, but also to each other, husbands and wives, to the government, and now elders and young men. But generally the message is for us all: how do we begin to live a victorious life? How do we begin to live as God intends to live, freely in the world in which we live, under his authority and influence in our lives? And he says a number of things. He talks about clothing ourselves, humbling ourselves, casting our anxieties, and standing firm in the faith. And all of these things are things that we learn to do as we grow in the Christian faith. But it all begins with a humble attitude. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. These are important truths. It's very hard, isn't it? One of the most difficult things for human beings to do is to admit they have a need, sometimes of God, but occasionally of other people too. Very hard. And we have to humble ourselves and recognize that there's something more than me in this world. Of course, there's other people, people who are suffering and struggling in all manner of ways, but actually to look even beyond humanity and to think about, well, what if? To look to God is yet another kind of looking that we have to do. And we have to humble ourselves before him at the point of need. All of us have to repent and turn away from our sin and turn to God. That's the way it all kind of begins. And it has to happen daily, but there has to be a kind of a moment when we need to be doing that kind of thing. And sometimes we need to be humble to learn to be able to ask other people and to humble ourselves before one another and allow people to help us. We're not good at that sort of thing sometimes. I can do this. I don't need any help. But actually we do. And we actually do need God to help us too. And in the story, when I think it's the most humbling story too, of when Jesus comes to comfort the sisters, Martha and Mary, and Lazarus was dying, and they just needed Jesus to be around. And he didn't get there until Lazarus had died. And we find Mary saying, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And we see that even Jesus, showed that human touch. And we know that Jesus, in many other ways and instances within the gospel, humbled himself before others, washed his disciples' feet, did all kinds of other things. And here he was taking some words from Martha and Mary particularly. You know, there was a note of criticism in her voice. She was disappointed that he had not come, and she needed very much to know, so what now, really? How can we get through this experience? But Jesus was moved. Jesus was troubled, greatly troubled by what was going on. And in his heart, it says, he was deeply moved in the spirit. And I think that was in the gut. It was kind of so deep. He was hurting. He was obviously hurting for Mary and Martha. But I also think that there was a bit of anger in there, that death had taken the life of Lazarus. Because when you think about it, Jesus came to deal with death on the cross. That's what he came to do. And he was clearly close to Mary, Martha and Lazarus. He was deeply moved because of what had happened. So he says, "Where have you laid him?" And they say, "Come and see, Lord." And of course, he wept before them. Just poured out of him. And I think we need to have this kind of image of a God who, in Jesus, continues to weep over people, continues to weep over the world in which we live. The Jews were able to see it. See how he loved him. And Jesus, we're told, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and there was the stone, so it was all finished. As far as Mary and Martha was concerned, that was the end of the story. And Jesus was going to do something extraordinary. And Martha and Mary couldn't understand how they would do this, and they had very practical issues. The body would be smelling by this point. It's been in there for 4 days. And it was hard for them to completely, at that point at least, to trust in what Jesus had in mind. They thought it was over, and they had to just trust him. "Didn't I tell you," said Jesus, "if you just believed, you would see the glory of God?" And that's the main point of this story. Of course, the glory of God. One of the interesting things about Lazarus being raised from the dead was that eventually he would have to die again. He had to go through the experience twice. But anyway, for this moment, it was for the purposes of the glory of God. And Jesus prayed, And then he speaks directly to Lazarus, the one who is dead. Lazarus, come out of that tomb, he says. And the dead man came. And we have to understand in Jewish culture, for Jesus to be around a dead body, and indeed the rest of them who were gathered there, was a kind of an anathema to the rest of them who were gathered there. And so it was a big thing for him to be doing. But the dead man came out. The dead man came out of the tomb, all wrapped up. And he still had those strips of linen on his body and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said something really, I think, significant. He said, you know, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Because that would be the final indication that what Jesus had promised had come to pass. And sometimes, I think in our Christian walk, we don't walk around in the victory that God intends. And sometimes we still carry around us with on our bodies, in our hearts and minds, things that we need to let go of. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, all of the clothes were the clothes that he wore when he was entombed had to be removed. And sometimes we're held back by our past, a past that God has dealt with. Sometimes we have things in our minds, in our memories, things that people have said to us that we need to deal with and allow that to be dealt with by God, who is gracious and wants to set us free completely. Mary was waiting for Jesus. She was at the end of her tether. Have you been at the end of your tether about things? I think we all have, haven't we? And you've said, I don't know how I'm going to cope in this situation. And it takes a bit of humility both to pray to God in this and to ask for help. Mary needed some help at this point. So did Martha, and not least Lazarus too. Sometimes when we reach the end of our tether, and it is a breaking point, that's when God can step in and be with us and help us and strengthen us. And he is kind of the one who takes the strain at that point, the spiritual strain for us. But it has to begin with humility. And when we're able to say to God, I can't go any further with this, I don't know what to do, I cannot cope, God steps in. And as we learn to do this, as we learn to cast our anxieties and our cares, and when we reach the end of our tether and allow him to take over, that's the point at which we begin to truly cast our anxieties, whatever they are, and ours, we're all different here. When we learn to do that, then we find that he takes over, and we find that we can begin to stand in the faith that we have been set in and settled in by God. Then we allow God to care for us in the way in which he truly intends. Peter says, resist the devil who's trying to destroy all the good things that's in our life and that has begun in Christ. Standing firm in the faith, that's one of the things that we have to do. Clothe ourselves with humility. We have to be humble towards one another and to God, and cast our anxieties on God. And then finally, we stand firm in the faith, in Christ alone. That's what that hymn and that song was all about. And in this way, I haven't got indigestion, that was just something else. In this way, the Lord God will strengthen us and raise us up and help us to live for the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I need the strength for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the day. This is the day. So let's learn to do that, to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, humble ourselves before God, cast our anxieties upon him, and allow him to care for us as he intends, and stand firm in the faith. Let's be still for a moment.